Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. As the journey is complete, regular season, conference championship week, we have made it to the bowls, and most importantly, the college football playoff semifinals. We talk about that, a lot of coaching changes, bowl matchups are set, a lot to do as we start a new week. Here on College Football Full Circle, joined as always by the encyclopedia of college football that is Joe Lisi. Go for the two. What's up, Joe?
Pastor Mike, you're back with us from your hiatus, your brief hiatus. Carver, I missed you. And what a weekend to be in Baton Rouge. I mean,
yeah,
I
sure hope. Was.
I hope that you, as you were prepping the beautiful couple to be, you had your eyes in Arlington to watch that Big 12 championship game between Dave Aranda and Mike Gundy. What a weekend of college football. It's great to have you back. And a lot to talk about, obviously, on top of the college football playoff.
No question, Joe. And yes, despite myself having a lot going on Saturday, I was popping in and out of all the games throughout the day, whether it be the Baylor win over Oklahoma State. Believe it or not, Joe, I didn't have to watch much of the second half of Alabama and Georgia. I mean, I didn't have to worry about what was going on in Atlanta. I mean, what a nice performance by Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs on Saturday as they go up in smoke 41-24. Had my eye on Cincy. And then at night, I didn't have to keep my eye on Michigan for too long either, Joe, because they took care of business in a big-time way.
They did. I was sitting on the under, though, Carver, and I was peeking at that game. I was out to dinner, and I'm saying, it's 21-3 going into the fourth quarter. Dead under. I'm eating, right? Yeah, bring more. I want more. And then I peeked at the phone in between, and I see, you got to be kidding me. A score at the end? Really? Come on. Come on, Iowa. Have a little bit of heart. A little bit of pride.
Nope, no pride, no heart from the Hawkeyes as they took care of business. So that leaves us now, Joe, with our semifinals, as we found out yesterday. So Alabama, after the win over Georgia, they pop up to number one, Michigan number two, Georgia number three, and Cincinnati, the Bearcats, first group of five team to make it into the college football playoff. They are in the four hole. They are undefeated. Got through the regular season, took care of Houston at home in the conference championship game, and now their parting gift, Joe, the Alabama Crimson Tide in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl in what will be, I don't know. We've obviously got weeks, Joe, to talk about this game, and we're going to talk about it a lot. But at first glance, I had to listen to Saban last night go, oh, they're very deserving of being in the college football playoffs. Let me tell you, Saban was smiling ear to ear when he saw he had to play Cincinnati in Dallas on New Year's Eve. I mean, he loves it.
The mad scientist, little Nicky. Right? Nicky got it done again. I'm happy I was on them. And I was on the team total of 20.5. I was on Bryce Young, 261 and a hook. Overpassing total like a knife through butter, Carver. Remember that vaunted Georgia defense. Oh, beat your chest.
Yeah. No, it's true. Here's the one thing I thought, Joe. My big theme with Georgia all year was I wanted to see their offense have to be put in a position where they had to win themselves a game. And I never thought that they would get their doors blown off by Alabama, because that's exactly what happened. That game was non-competitive, Joe. Non-competitive.
It was. But we talked about it. What was the sophisticated passing attack that they faced all year? Tennessee with Hendon Hooker. Florida with Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. DJU and that offense in Clemson that was only averaging 183 passing yards per game. Who was the team that challenged them vertically? Nobody. And I said this right during this week prior to the conference championships. If they were to face Arkansas now, I think Arkansas might beat them. To be honest with you, the way that Arkansas played down the stretch, they dominated Missouri. They went toe-to-toe with Alabama, Treylon Burks, K.J. Jefferson. I mean, that offense is completely reformed from when they played them in Athens week number 5. So, gutty effort, kudos to Alabama, and kudos to Cincinnati. They were deserving. They got it done. Jerome Ford with a huge performance, 187 on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Dez Ritter, 190 through the air with 3 touchdowns. Hey, you deserve to be there. Now it's like Gary Barney. All right, here's your present, buddy. We're going to give you the Alabama Crimson Tide so we never have to hear about a Group of 5 team again.
Well, look, Joe, I mean, I figured if Alabama won that game, they were going to make them number one over Michigan. I know there were some people who were like, oh, Michigan. No, Alabama beating Georgia squarely put them in the one hole, and Cincinnati wasn't going to be anything but 4. I mean, if they were getting in, they were going to be 4, and that was that. And the spread says that, hey, 2 touchdowns, Joe. 2 touchdowns, 14 points right now. I got to be honest with you. Yeah.
I lean to the Bearcats.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Under the key number 14.
Come on, Joe! Come on! All right, college football full circle. We got weeks to go over this one. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Couple more things through the weekend and some coaching changes. We're back on the grid right after this.
Live on. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. So Joe, like, kind of slid that in as the music was playing to go to break. You know, I'm leaning Cincinnati. Well, Joe, let me just tell you, you got yourself 3.5 weeks to unlean on Cincinnati, okay? You're going to unlean on that. By the time we get to New Year's Eve, of course, the Cotton Bowl Classic down in Dallas. Between Cincinnati and Alabama, I think it's gonna be ugly, Joe. Ugly.
It probably might be. Well,
because history says, Joe, even when teams like Cincinnati haven't been in the college football playoff, that these games are ugly. I read it to you a couple weeks ago. 85% of these semifinals have all been unwatchable games.
No, I agree with you. And I understand the sentiment. It's just that the fact that the books put it and established at least a couple under the key number of 14, which is begging you to take Alabama.
Yeah.
But again, I haven't even broken down the bowls with NFL action and everything else. But these matchups are going to be very interesting.
I don't think that we'll see that 14 3 weeks from Friday, Joe, when we get to New
16. You might see. With all the Bama money. I mean, let's keep in mind, Bama didn't cover their last semifinal playoff game against your Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bigger number. I mean, that number was
20 and a half.
That number was deep when they played the Irish last week. Yeah. So a little respect here for Cincinnati. But this Alabama team, as we've talked about a lot, not as good as last year's either. So there's a little bit of both ways that swings. Now, the other game, Joe, I actually think as much as these games are never good, that one has the chance to be good. Now, it could be very rock fight, low scoring, boring, because we know what both teams want to do. I'm very, very intrigued to see the Michigan rushing attack try to impose their will in that offensive line on the Georgia defense, who, despite getting ripped up through the air by Alabama, we would think are going to have a bounce-back effort when they meet in Miami at the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, a great point. And this matchup actually goes similar styles, right? So we have two, I want to say run-heavy teams. Even though Georgia's put up points through the air with Stetson Bennett, they are a successful team every time they pound the rock for over 200. A stack heading into this year, from 2016 till now, they were 31-0 against FBS and FCS opponents every time they pound the rock for over 200. So didn't rush for over 200 against Alabama, only loss on the year. Did rush for over 200, I believe, in about five meetings this year. Again, flawless. So we're around 36-0 every time this team rushes for over 200. So you have solid front sevens. Now, it's going to come down to the quarterback play. Cade McNamara versus either JT Daniels and Stetson Bennett. I do believe that Georgia has a speed advantage on the perimeter with those playmakers, Jermaine Burton, George Pickens. You have Cook, the running back, and Zamir White. So you have SEC speed going up against the physicality of Michigan. Intriguing battle. I will say that I think for Michigan, and people think I'm nuts, I think this will be a harder matchup because of the front seven of Georgia than if they face Alabama. I give Michigan a better shot to cover against Alabama right now early on than I do Georgia.
I will say, Joe, I think this number here a few weeks out is a little high. I think nine's a little high. I get it. Georgia up until Saturday was the most dominant team, dominant defense, this, that, and the other. I have a feeling this one will be a good game. I think it will be low scoring. I think it will go down to the wire. Two classic teams that haven't won in a very long time. So you know both fan bases are going to be extremely jacked up. That's going to be some scene in Miami on New Year's Eve with Georgia and Michigan fans all over the place. But I think nine is over a touchdown for this is probably a little high. And I might get the nine now, Joe, because I think it might drift back towards the Wolverines with a lot of Michigan money before, as we get closer and closer to the 31st.
Yeah, great point, Carver. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, again, I could see this game being very competitive. A lot of pressure on both coaches, right? Harbaugh's finally there.
Tons.
Right? Kirby Smart. You lose the back-to-back games to end the year. I mean, how good is that 12-0 record? Think about it, right? You're 12-0. Right, exactly. Rip it up and throw it into the garbage can. You know, at the end of the day, you still can't beat Big Brother Alabama, and you're 0-4 now against Nick Saban. And the last time, I got to be honest with you, you got absolutely abused. They got abused. They jumped up 10-0, and it's like the switch went off with Bryce Young and Jamison Williams. When he caught that touchdown pass, it's like, uh-oh, they found something. And they just continued and continued. And how about Stetson Bennett? If you're Kirby Smart, you're like shaking. Like, who do I go to? Do I go to JT Daniels? What game has JT Daniels stepped up in, too? Mm. Is that going to be the savior or the answer for this team?
Like we said, the Georgia offense is not on the same level as their defense. It just isn't. And you saw on Saturday, you know, they started to get into a hole, and the offense wasn't going to be able to dig them out of it. They just weren't. They are a front-running team, Joe. They need to play from ahead. They need to play bully ball. That's how Georgia wins these games. And when they get down, things do not go very well for them, that's for sure. So there's your semifinal matchups. Alabama-Cincinnati, Michigan, and Georgia, one of those four. And I guess we missed the boat on Bama. We said it last week, Joe, plus 750 FanDuel out of Matt to win the whole thing.
Yep.
So it was worth a flyer. Now it's plus 125. You know, it's just before that Georgia game, you could have got a real nice price on Alabama to win the national title.
Yeah.
Real
nice price. Now it's gone. Now
it's gone. Up in smoke.
Plus 120.
Chopped, Joe. Gone.
Chopped.
Finished.
I mean, you know, the only value on the board, I mean, obviously Cincinnati at 18-1, but Michigan at plus 750.
Cincinnati's not going to beat two of these teams.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I mean,
it's just now. If you had some tickets on Cincinnati and Michigan from deeper out, like month ago, 3 months ago, etc., you're sitting in a good position, Joe. If you've got some Cincinnati and Michigan tickets now going into this week, into these two games, you're in good spot.
No, great point. And what about Michigan? They like to play bully ball, too. We haven't seen them play from beyond. So if they get behind to Georgia, it's going to be interesting to see how do they respond in that environment, because we haven't seen them. The only time we've seen Michigan play from behind is against Michigan State in the last 3 minutes of the ballgame.
It's true. 100%, Joe. I agree with you. A couple other things from the championship games over the weekend, and then we'll get into the coaching madness that continues to go on. We have to talk about this Baylor-Oklahoma State game, Joe. Oklahoma State, it was there for them. We both think that if they would have won, maybe they unseat Cincinnati and get that fourth slot. Of course, Gundy did not get it done. Offense was putrid on Saturday, just shooting themselves in the foot time and time again. They let a backup quarterback, too, for Baylor come in and absolutely ripped them apart. That kid played great. Joe on Saturday, but really it all comes down to this. You had seven chances, you had seven chances to score and they couldn't get it done. They lose 21-16.
Why did he kick the field goal? Why did he kick the field goal? Your defense is playing lights out. You have a redshirt freshman, Blake Shapen, there. If you don't get it, you put the ball on the 1 yard line. You're granted to get the ball back right at maybe the 40. So what were you worried about? He laid up. He got nervous. And here's the other thing. I brought up Jaylen Warren. I get it. He was hurt. But Brian Robinson was hurt as well. You're telling me you can't put the kid in on the last series as a decoy and then utilize Spencer Sanders on the perimeter? Like, what are you doing? And how about Desmond Jackson? Like, he runs from the 3 to the 5 to the 1. How about you cut it up and you sell your body? I mean, come on. You're 235 pounds.
I knew you'd be upset about this.
Oh, come on. Because I'm watching this game. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, really? Like, where's Spencer Sanders? The guy is mobile as anything. Come on. He's a Swiss Army knife. Sell your body. A college football playoff is on the line, man.
Unbelievable. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, channel 159. We'll come back, Joe, and go through the other games from Saturday. And then Manny Diaz chopped. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
Your wife called.
She wants her husband back.
We told her you were busy. It takes real commitment to get the winning edge.
She seemed upset.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need, strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Mike Carver and Joe Lisi.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Quickly through the other games, Joe, from the weekend. I was real proud Friday night walking down Bourbon Street watching my Roadrunners of UTSA 49-41. Not only did they cover way over the 73.5, Joe, real proud when I was watching them finish the job there in the Conference USA title game.
Great call, partner, because I was on the same side with you. It didn't take the total, but Frank Harris, that crew, stepped up. Very very impressed with the defense in the second half of the ball game. They contained Bailey Zappe, even though he got his basically in mop-up duty. They built a big lead, held on. I mean, McCormick had a solid day. That team was dialed in after a disappointing loss about a week ago to North Texas, where they were laying 10.5. So solid win. Jeff Traylor's done a fantastic job. Happy to see them in their bowl matchup. We'll see how that game progresses in a couple weeks. But great year. One loss on the year. I mean, fantastic game, and I was actually happy for the Utah Utes. They slapped Mario Big Cristobal in the face.
I'm going to save that for last for one reason, Joe, because that is going to transition us into that story. So I want to get through these other games, and then I'm going back to that gutless effort by Oregon on Friday night in Las Vegas against Utah. We'll finish with that quickly, though. Proud of your boy Rocky Lombardi and the Huskies of Northern Illinois, yes. 41-23. They win the MAC. I mean, weren't they like the second or third, like, lowest choice? If you had some Northern Illinois to win the MAC tickets, Joe, you cashed in here this weekend.
Yeah, there was somebody on my Twitter that hit it. You know, I think they were 300-1. Wow. Thomas Hammack and the crew were dead last in the MAC last year. Obviously, Rocky Lombardi was not on that team. He transferred from Michigan State. Can you imagine if he would have stayed with the Spartans? Another dynamic year, but he stepped up. I mean, that defense contained Kent State and Dustin Crum. I mean, 2-6 Kent State was on the road or on a neutral field this year. Granted, they played some top flight competition like Maryland, Iowa, and Texas A&M. But at the end of the day, just a disappointing. Sean Lewis, I told you, he's garbage in a tough spot.
He certainly is.
He's a complete money bird.
I got this one right, too, which I was happy about. Utah State, you liked him as well. I didn't think they'd win outright like this, though, Joe. 46-13. They smacked the Aztecs out there at Carson. I couldn't believe it. I thought they'd be in the game. Maybe they'd win a close game. They embarrassed them, Joe. Embarrassed them.
Logan Bonner, I mean, that was a dynamic effort. Over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception on the afternoon. Mobile quarterback, made plays with his legs. I like Utah State, too, but for the sake of the show, I took the over. And that was basically a scoreless first quarter. I'm like, Carver's going to win this. Carver's going to win this. And then all of a sudden, it was 14-3 in the 46-13 beatdown.
The other one, I see, this is why I said to you, I think it was on Wednesday before I left, and I was like, I like the lesser games more than the bigger games, and I did really well on the lesser games. The Raging Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette, 24-16 over App State in the Billy Napier send-off. Nice job by the Cajuns, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, a gutty effort. Now, it wasn't as dominant as that 41-13 effort in the regular season, but they maintained their composure. Levi Lewis with a big day, over 200 yards. That defense contained Chase Bryce, made them completely one-dimensional. So that was a solid, gutty effort. And they played at home, and I like to see that. You know, playing in front of the home crowd, even though it was a conference championship, they didn't play Coastal last year in the championship game. Remember, they were canceled due to COVID. So they get their championship this year, well-deserved. Great job by Napier, and now hopefully he can carry the momentum into Gainesville, because they're going to need it after a 6-6 campaign.
No question about it. Nice job there. Napier on his way to Florida now after winning that conference title in the Sun Belt with the Cajuns. This will be my who screwed you the most this week, Joe. I'm doing it right now. And that's Pitt and Wake Forest on Saturday night in the ACC title game, who, great first half. I mean, 45 points. We were looking for that over 72, 71.5, whatever it was. 45 points in the first half. And then Wake Forest gets a bagel in the second half. Pitt takes their foot off the gas. 45-21 the final. Nice job by Kenny Pickett and Narduzzi and the crew to win a ACC championship. But, man, Joe, I was steaming that Wake Forest basically went in the tank and quit in the second half.
They did, and they led 24-21. I can't believe that. Gutless. But I'm happy the under came in. I'm not real happy, but happy. Yeah, sure. You know, a little smirk in that regard. How about Kenny Pickett? He fakes the slide, and everybody's up in arms. I say belt him. Get the 15-yard penalty. Yeah. Lay his ass out. I don't care. He wants a slide. He faked the slide, and he ran it in for a touchdown. He broke, and everybody's like, he broke his hips. It's like he broke his hips. Now, I say lay him out, helmet come off. Who cares? Take the 15-yard penalty. Send an attention getter to him. If he wants to do that, he'll never do it again.
Chop him at the legs, Joe.
Chop him at the legs. Chop him.
And USC and Cal played late on Saturday night. What an awful effort by USC. I mean, you want to talk gutless. It's like maybe none of them want to play for Lincoln Riley. I mean, maybe they just – I mean, you'd think they would have a little juice.
No.
With your new coach, obviously wasn't on the sidelines, but you know he was watching. Mm-hmm. And to have a gutless performance like that, this is like the – we'll go gutless to gutless here. First the pick Wake Forest, then USC, and then we'll finish with the biggest dogs of the weekend, Joe.
Yeah, so this one is interesting because you remember when USC played in the Las Vegas Bowl when Clay Helton was there, right? I believe
yes.
Maybe it was with Lane Kiffin. They won the bowl game. Or maybe it was with Sark. Oh, the coach is watching and they dominated that game. This team was gutless all year, let's be honest. I mean,
sure were.
Top 10 talent. They laid an egg. This was the first win by California over USC in Berkeley since 2003. Chase Garbers completed 17 of 20 passes. Christopher Brown, 49 rushing yards on the afternoon, 2 touchdowns. That defense still can't tackle. Good job, Lincoln. You're going to have the same type of results in terms of never winning a playoff game that you had with Oklahoma at USC because those kids don't even use a tackling dummy. But good job. You could throw for 600 yards anytime you want.
Amazing. It really was. Was that Kyle Bowler in 2003 who got that win, Joe?
Was it Aaron Rodgers? I got to think now. 2003. 01 was Kyle Bowler and Joe Igbert. I was working for ABC Sports at the time. I called up the Cal Berkeley information director, you know, like the press box.
Yes.
They were
yes.
playing UCLA, and I had to call. This is before, you know, all the technology that we have. Hey, do you have an update on the game? Yeah. All right, who's got the ball? I don't know. What do you mean? You go to Cal Berkeley,
your
team.
At the game.
You don't know your team colors? I called them up. I said, they're the team with Joe Igbert, Kyle Bowler. The person there didn't know, right? So I go, let me ask you a deeper question. Does your team practice during the week? Do they practice? Because they're absolutely getting abused on the football field.
Joe, stop. That brings us to, by far, the most gutless effort of the weekend, and that was Friday night by the Oregon Ducks in Vegas against Utah, who twice in 3 weeks got absolutely bulldozed by the Utes. I mean bulldozed, Joe. I thought that was so embarrassing, and then the people at Miami were so enamored with the performance that Mario Cristobal put on against the Utes the last 3 weeks that they had to run and fire Manny Diaz and bring him down to South Beach. Now, I know we've got the history. We've got the ties. We need a Miami guy in the job. But, man, what an awful performance by Oregon on Friday night. Oh.
Come home, Mario. Come home to mama.
Come home is
come
right.
Come home to mama. Come home. You're a mama now. At this point, you're a mom and elf, you know, like, hey, we give you a little pasta, a little bread. Yeah, at the end of the day, you got pushed around by a blue-collar team that hit you in the mouth, and you didn't respond in any way. They took your lunch money, they kicked your ass to the curb, and you didn't respond. And all week long, people were asking me, who do you like? And I'm like, you know what? I originally like Oregon, but at the end of the day, they got abused in the trenches. I like Utah. And they're like, oh, but it's for a Pac-12 championship. And I'm like, this team didn't care 2 weeks ago with the college football playoff on the line. Mario big chest, bah, bah, bah. I'm big, I'm strong, but I can't tackle anybody. They got a beautiful. Did you see those holes that those running backs were running through? Are you guys?
I stopped watching at halftime. I couldn't do it anymore. It was so tough to take. I even double dipped on Oregon in the second half. I was like, they got to have some kind of effort. No effort.
No heart. Nothing. Typical West Coast, right? That's why the Pac-12 hasn't stepped up in recent years. Since Mariota and the Ducks got laid out by Ezekiel Elliott and Ohio State in the championship game. That's it.
So that's Mario, Mario, after coaching the kids up so well against the Utes the last couple of weeks, will now flee Oregon. And, man, people run out of there, Joe. It is amazing. They need to get somebody who can actually stay in Eugene for, like, you know, a substantial amount of time. It's become a stepping stone job, Joe. I mean, everybody takes the job to go to bigger places. Now, I'm not saying that the people who leave end up doing well. I mean, Willie Taggart, how's he doing? But Mario Cristobal now will go to Miami, where they let Manny Diaz kind of twist in the wind for a few days, Joe. Everybody was getting upset with how Miami was treating Manny the last few days.
Yeah, I know. Explain this to me. They have Phil Knight and Nike behind Oregon. Why is that not a marquee job? And Phil Knight, supposedly, Cristobal reached out to Miami for feelers, and I don't know if his agent went back to Oregon and said, is the $10 million still on the table? And supposedly the story is, late last night they tweeted it out, that Phil Knight said, screw you, Mario, the deal's off, because he doesn't want people to play him. Right, chopped. And he doesn't like people to view Oregon as a stepping stone job.
Wow, how about that? More coaching news. We've got a lot more to do on that front. A lot's happening there. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We keep rolling right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159. Yeah, Joe sent me this this piece on Cristobal from Oregon Live. John Canzano, who's been up there a long time, does a good job. The Oregonian. That Phil Knight basically, when you get Phil Knight mad in the state of Oregon, Joe, I mean, you might as well just leave, because you got no shot then after that. I mean, the guy basically runs the state. He runs the university. He runs anything that ever happens in there. And if you get him upset, as Mario Cristobal certainly did, you could forget it. You're done. Finished, Joe. Chopped. Get out.
Right. Yeah, and it's not like he wasn't offered a lot of money. It was a 10-year, $85 million extension. And if I'm Mario Cristobal and I'm a business guy, and, I understand you want to go home to your university, but your university is in complete disarray. Compared to the athletic facilities at Oregon and the money behind the university, you're going to compare Miami, that hasn't stepped up since when? You couldn't get it done with Mark Richt there. You're going to bring back the U? The U is going to come back all of a sudden? How long is that going to take? And once you go 6-6 after year one with that garbage team, you're going to wish you were back at Oregon. That's the problem what I have with these coaches, is that, oh, yeah, Oregon's my dream job. You take them to a Rose Bowl, you're on the potential cusp of a college football playoff appearance, and all of a sudden you're thinking about the University of Miami as opposed to the Utah Utes, because it obviously showed a couple of weeks ago in Salt Lake City when your team was just knocked out in the first quarter. Give me a break, Mario.
Yeah, I feel like at this point in time, what's the better job, Joe? I mean, is it Oregon at this point? With all the money that gets pumped into that place? You would think it's Oregon, but everybody leaves. I mean, Willie Taggart ran to Florida State. Now Cristobal is going to run to South Beach. I saw one of the guys who covers college football, I don't remember off the top of my head right now, on Twitter today said, if I'm Oregon, don't go near anybody with any ties to any Florida schools.
Right.
Just stay away from anybody who's ever wanted to coach at Florida State, Florida, Miami. Don't go near any of those guys, because they burn you every time.
Who do they get now? Is the question.
You sent me the one tweet saying maybe they'd go after Dave Aranda, but Dave Aranda is going to probably get a lot of money from Baylor, Joe. He's building a little something down there.
I mean, 2 years, Big 12 championship. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Matt Rhule built it up. They got to the Big 12 championship. They were 1-11, then 7-6, and then 11-2. They go to face, Georgia.
Great job.
And then they had the down rear.
He did a great job by Dave Aranda this year. Dave Aranda did a tremendous job at Baylor. Who's now going to play in the Sugar Bowl, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The other coaching stuff, I was actually stunned Joe, that the great Brett Venables, who was never going to take a head coaching job, he was going to be Dabo's assistant for life. He was the highest paid assistant in all of college football. I'm stunned, but I guess there's always one place that you're willing to go, Joe. And, right. And I guess for Venables, it was Oklahoma.
And I think Bob Stoops had a lot to do with that. Bob Stoops, I think, reached out to Oklahoma and said, because he's been doing the recruiting, he stepped in. I'm not going to let, you know, Lincoln Riley ruin my foundation and my dynasty that I've basically built since 2000 in Norman, right? So he took over the reins, and I'm sure he said to the administration, if I could lure Brett, will you take him, or would that be good enough? And I'm sure they said yes. And then he said, Brett, come home. Come home to Norman. Let's rekindle our relationship. Let's get Roy Williams back. Let's get all the great Oklahoma Sooners that we had play. Rocky Kalamus. Josh Heupel, although Josh Heupel said he's staying in Knoxville, but I mean, I think that's the perfect fit, because there were a lot of people that were being mentioned, and what direction do they go? Do they want an offensive mind? Brett Venables has helped solidify that foundation in Death Valley with Dabo Swinney going out and recruiting top 10 talent. I mean, for a period of about 7 years, from like 2014 through 2019, 2020, that front seven and the key losses that they had, right? Vic Beasley, Shaq Lawson, the, you know, Kevin Dodd, the list goes on, Dexter Lawrence, right? They average about 46 to 48 sacks per year. For a period of 6 years, they held opposing offenses to 30% or less on third down conversions. And that was a testament to Venables and the type of talent that he recruited on the defensive side of the ball. And he understands now what it takes to win and make a team a college football contender. So hopefully he can get Oklahoma over the hump.
Yeah, very interesting hire. You got a guy who's obviously been an assistant for a long time jumping into that job. We will see how that goes. We wish him the best. And, of course, our man Adazio got chopped, Joe. Adazio.
Somebody just took that job. I just tweeted
chopped.
It out.
Yeah, well, it looks like that Jay Norvell from Nevada is going to be the next coach at Colorado State. So that's it. I mean,
is that a jump up? Same
conference, Joe. Now, I know that I'm sure that they probably pump a little bit more money into the program at Colorado State. And you remember when all the musical chairs were going on, you know, for the past few months, Colorado State was mentioned a couple times to maybe go to the American. So maybe it's a bit of a loftier place, but it's still the same conference. And Jay did pretty well at Nevada the last few years.
I know. Carson Strong. I mean, that offense was one of the most prolific in terms of the conference and in all of FBS. Has a potential draft choice in terms of an NFL quarterback in Carson Strong. So it's odd, because you saw Mike Bobo previously in Colorado State not take that team over the hump. He's now a coordinator at Auburn. Adazio, he just he went straight down like a dart with that team. You know, and it did. It's like, you know, he took pull up, and he just went straight down. Steve Adazio can run any program right into the ground, dirt.
He is. That's got to be it for him, right, Joe? I mean,
he'll be a coordinator or something.
Yeah, coach. But he can't be a head guy again. That's got to be over with, right? I mean, we're not going to see Adazio get another job, are we?
Well, maybe in the MAC. I mean,
get him in Akron. You want that Akron job? Come on,
Akron's going to hire Moorhead. Joe Moorhead, really? the Oregon offensive coordinator. And maybe that's another reason why, I don't know, Mario Cristobal bolted, because Moorhead, I mean, I didn't think Moorhead was that great.
Of buyouts and stuff, Joe, I did see this. So all the coaching buyouts so far here in 2021, they all add up to $94 million. You believe
incredible.
That? Or Eddie O, 17, Dan Mullen, 12, Gary Patterson, 12, Clay Helton, 10, your boy Jimmy Lake, 9.9. Jeez, 9.9 for Lake. I mean, Justin Fuente, 8.7. Your boy Wells, 7.4. Carey, 4 million. Manny Diaz, 4 million. Adazio, 3 million. Skip Holtz, 3 million. And then you get the guys under a million. Bell, 940K. How about Arth, your boy Arth, 640K. Even he had a buyout. Randy Edsall at the bottom, 400K. $94 million, Joe.
Unbelievable.
In Buyouts.
Randy Etzel. Randy Etzel. I would have given him a box of Entenmann's and some cupcakes and said, here, here's your buyout. Yeah, and you don't even get a napkin. Use your sleeve at this point from the way you actually ran this program. Are you kidding me? Buyout?
Even these a guys buyout are for Etzel. Tom Arth.
I'll give you a kick in the ass if you want a buyout.
For Arth. 640K for Arth.
You're lucky my shoe isn't attached to your arse.
Even so, Adazio's getting $3 million to go out the door, Joe. Adazio.
I can't. Well, I mean, how about Walt Bell? I mean, Walt Bell, I mean, what was his record at UMass? He was winless last year.
940K for Walt.
940K. Arth was what, 3 wins in Akron during his tenure?
Yeah. 640K for Arth.
That's crazy. That is
it
nuts.
It is wild. It is wild. It's amazing to think about. We do have, Joe, a game this weekend. You know that, right?
Yes,
I mean, there is a game. We have a game.
Yes, I do.
The classic, as always, the Army-Navy game coming up on Saturday. And this year, Joe, it's in your backyard. It's at MetLife, East Rutherford. Are you going to the game? You got to go, Joe. Are you going to the game?
I'm going to be working in-game live, I believe. Oh, but it's the 122nd meeting of Army-Navy. It's a culmination of the 2021 season. That epitomizes what pageantry in college football is all about. It's the first time the game is being played in MetLife, the fifth time in the state of New Jersey. And obviously the uniform combos in terms of how they actually, you know, wear them. So Navy, I believe, is honoring the F-16, or maybe it's the other way. I think Army might be special ops, the OTDs, I believe. I got to double check it, but they have uniform combos to obviously recognize and honor the great men and women of the
right
Naval
now.
Academy and Army.
They're outstanding. Saw them. I went as I was looking for something else. I did want to let you know, and I know you know this already, the under is on a 15-year run in the Army-Navy game.
I know, but it's in New Jersey now. I want to pull the trigger on the over.
What does that mean? Well, you actually are going to have to drive. If you want to do it on van, you got to drive over across state lines, Joe. You got to go to Pennsylvania to punch that one in. You're going to have to go over there because the game is at MetLife. They do not offer it at FanDuel in New Jersey. You cannot get it. Can't get the game because it's a college athletic event taking place in the state of New Jersey. So at some point this week, Joe, what you need to do is you need to get in a car and whatever's closer for you. I think Pennsylvania is closer to you than Connecticut. So I think that you'll have to get in the car, go across state lines, and get your Army-Navy play in.
But do I have to put it in through a Pennsylvania book?
No. When you open the FanDuel app, as soon as you cross state lines, your account that you always use, just make sure you hit Pennsylvania at the front instead of New Jersey. That's all you need to do.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And then you log in like always, and then away you go. You can get that under 35 in.
Now, I can do that.
Now,
under I can 35. Do that, right? I don't have the ball and chain or anything, right?
You got time to go make that. I mean, how long is it for you to get to the Pennsylvania border?
Like 15, 20 minutes. But I'll say this. Can you imagine, honey, I need you to go out to Lowe's and Home Depot. Yeah, I'll be back in about 3 hours.
Yeah, I'll see you.
I'll see you. What do you need? You need groceries? I'll get you.
I decided to hit the one in Pocono. I decided to go over across the border and go to the Pocono Home Depot. I'm back with my Navy plus 7.5 and under 35 ticket for Saturday. So I have it. Don't worry.
Bert, where'd you go, Bert? You left it 9:30 in the morning. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, I ran into a moose on Route 95.
Are we going 16 years in a row with the under, Joe? We'll talk about this more, obviously, as we get closer. But
I know,
16 years in a row.
All they do is run. I know. All they do is run.
35, Joe. 35 total.
I was on that over last year. The game was
played. I remember you being on that over. I remember
that. I know. It killed me. I love taking the points in these games. I'm a true sucker when it comes to the Army-Navy games. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
We don't have to make a decision now. It's the beginning
of the week. Well, who's the coach of Navy? Kenny Niumatalolo.
Yeah, that's your guy.
Kenny Niumatalolo.
That's your guy, Joe. You better back him. I'm backing him this week. I'm taking the points. Taking the points with Navy this week. Let's go. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 159. We'll come back. wrap things up here on the grid. Carver and Lisi back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mike Carver.
And we are back. College football full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, channel 159. I will tell you, Joe, as we're going to have weeks and weeks to go through all these bowl games, but I wanted to tell you what the other New Year's Six bowls were. Pittsburgh and Michigan State in the Peach Bowl. That will be on Thursday night, December the 30th. In Atlanta, of course. Friday, December 31st are the two semis. We talked about that already. Then Saturday, January 1st, Oklahoma State and Notre Dame, which will have Marcus Freeman, his first game as the head coach. And, man, Oklahoma State, they are going to – how are they getting up for that game, Joe?
I don't know.
Losing to Baylor. How's Oklahoma State going to get up for that game with the Irish?
I have no idea. You tell me. Now, Mike Gundy has a great bowl record. Got the bowl win last year over Miami. And covered, but that team didn't have aspirations of a college football playoff appearance. I mean, I'm a fan. I was their biggest fan at the end of the year, and I'm deflated.
Yeah, you gotta be. You gotta be. In Glendale, of course, at the Big Toaster, the Fiesta Bowl this year, Oklahoma State and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, the Rose Bowl, Utah against Ohio State. I want to see Utah try to play their bully ball stuff against the Buckeyes out in Pasadena that day, and then a really fun night game. Baylor and Ole Miss, Joe, in the Sugar Bowl. P-O-I-N-T-S. Points, 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 baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I have two that I'm zeroing in on. Purdue and Tennessee in Nashville, under and over 60. I love it. Josh Heupel. Yeah. Both of those teams will look to score points because it means a lot to them. And then I love two games. Arkansas, Penn State in the Outback Bowl. Love it. Going to look beautiful on the screen. And number two, as long as Arkansas wears the red jerseys, and then Texas Tech, mistake, Mike Leach squaring off against the Red Raiders.
We are going to go through the entire bowl list tomorrow, Joe, and just get everybody zeroed in on who's playing who, where, when they're playing, etc. We'll do that tomorrow. Joe, great job. Great job by Andrew Torres, as always. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. We'll see you tomorrow.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning? Neither do we. Thank God. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.